Rock News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 26th of April, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderwill.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we will be bringing you news, views, stuff we can use. A very special guest, Jim Maddock from Metro Cartridge, will be our guest. We'll talk about your cartridge needs and how you can save yourself some money and do all kinds of cool things with it. He'll be on after the first break. But in the meantime, let's talk about the news. We're going to try something a little different this week. I've actually written a news summary, and we'll just chit-chat about the news as we go.
Aren't you getting all artsy-fartsy?
I am. I'm getting all, at least the second half of that anyway.
Yeah.
This week saw the no, the other.
This
week saw the release of a new version of Ubuntu, profits slipping for Microsoft for the first time ever. Windows 7 gets a release update, and there's both a milestone and a bit of a kerfuffle in the iPhone apps market. Ubuntu 9.04, the jaunty jackalope, has been released to much fanfare and hoopla among the Linux community. This new version sports some interesting changes for Linux, and all of them seem pretty darn good. First, there's the speed. That's what you notice first. It boots very fast and runs very fast, even on lower-end hardware like netbooks. Software updates make the system smooth and gives it all the power you could want. Thanks for much of that, of course, goes to Microsoft. As Microsoft ups its game, the Linux community is upping theirs right alongside it. If you're not a big gamer and you don't do big graphics or photo stuff, a netbook with Linux may be all you ever need. Probably not, but no, maybe. No. That's frightening for Microsoft. For the second quarter in a row, their profits have slipped. Netbooks took them by surprise, much the way the internet did. Vista is seriously handicapped on netbooks, and they don't make much profit on XP anymore. Even with Windows 7... said to run fine on netbooks. Too many people are buying their netbooks with Linux, and Microsoft's revenues are down. In fact, they are so far down that Microsoft, in an effort to curb unnecessary costs, has canceled their annual summer company picnic. The first time ever, they have actually profits have slipped for Microsoft, and they have announced plans to cut 5,000 workers over the next 18 months.
Didn't they already lose some folks?
No. That's Apple. They've cut 1,600 people.
Oh.
That's over 10% of the full-time retail employees, and that's just this year alone. Mac sales are down, and it's the iPhone juggernaut that's keeping Apple afloat right now with Enable Assist from the MacBook. The iPhone app store saw its 1 billionth download by 13-year-old Connor Mulcahy of Weston, Connecticut.
And we all hate him.
Yes, the app he downloaded was Bump, which allows users to bump their iPhones together in order to exchange contact information.
Oh, cool.
He won a MacBook Pro, a $10,000 iTunes gift card, an iPod Touch, and a time capsule. The App Store also saw some controversy. This one really porks me off with an app called Baby Shaker. The point was to quiet a crying baby by shaking the iPhone until red X's appear over the baby's eyes. That's right. You heard me. And they posted this at the start of Shaken Baby Syndrome Awareness Week. The outrage was instantaneous, and protests from parents whose babies suffer brain damage or died from being shaken went all over the country. You have to understand, apps don't appear in the iPhone App Store without being approved by someone at Apple, most likely a fellow named Victor Wang. On the 13th of September last year, Steve Jobs gave a speech in which he said that there are going to be some apps that we're not going to distribute. Porn, malicious apps, apps that invade your privacy. Apparently, killing babies by shaking them is okay with Steve Jobs.
Wouldn't it be malicious? He's on vacation. He's on sabbatical.
I don't care.
That is reprehensible.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, it is, but don't blame Steve.
There have been complaints. His company has put himself out there as a public face of Apple.
There have been complaints recently
that developers who have submitted applications to be approved aren't getting their approval fast enough. It can take several weeks to get an app approved. And so I forget if it was Tim Cook or someone on the development team a few weeks ago said we're going to try to streamline that approval process to make the approval faster. Apparently they streamlined it too much.
Somebody somewhere Yeah, really should be fired.
I wonder if how much
Apple's
of that is
hardly
automated.
Even apologized for this. I'm sorry, but this is reprehensible.
That shaken
babies.
The line, yes.
Well, they did remove it less than an hour after it got posted.
No, they removed it less than an hour after people started complaining about it. There's a huge difference between those two things.
That could have been up for days.
There's a huge difference between those things, and I got to tell you, that makes me angry. So, our poll of the week. And I tried to be polite about it, so I think I watered it down too much.
You did good.
Our poll of the week is, what's your favorite iPhone app? The ones that fart.
Yeah.
Sim Stapler, which is just, you can press a stapler and hear the sound.
One.
Of course you do. Cow Toss, where you get to toss a cow. Hold, you get a big button, you press it, and it tells you how long you held it. Seriously, this is why you bought a $400 item. And, of course, the other choice being I don't own an iPhone. The poll this week. Okay, I can't tell you how many people have voted because we have no network access.
This may
come to David's. You can tell us. That's right.
Because
you're on Frontier.
There appears to be a very widespread Roadrunner outage. It was down in Fairport. It was down in Brighton. It's down here in the city.
Right now there are 62 votes. With
95% of you say you don't own an iPhone. Smart people.
I don't.
And when you're done with that, of course, then look at the little yellow box underneath it. Click on, unless you're on Roadrunner, of course, click on Give Us Your Opinion. It takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
You got 7 responses so far.
And the poll is, what would actually compel you to buy an iPhone? When you're done with that, please contemplate joining Ask Nick. It's only $15 a year, and you get all the news and stuff that that I do over there. And, of course, then come back and join us at soundbites.org. I got to tell you, that to me, that's reprehensible. And I'm if I owned an iPhone, I would sell it. I really would. I agree with you, Dave, about child pornography.
Yep.
I will personally volunteer to castrate the offender with a rusty grapefruit spoon.
This falls right in the same category.
I will absolutely do that. And to me, this is actually the only thing I've ever thought of that would be worse. Take a poor, innocent little baby, and just because it's making a little noise, shake it till it dies? I think not. And then Apple puts out an application for it that really, honestly, truly makes me angry. Oh, yeah. Really, seriously makes me angry. And I cannot imagine Apple or anybody else in any way saying anything to mitigate that. It's just bad and wrong and lousy, and Apple, you suck. Let's just get that out right now. Okay, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Jaunty Jackalope. Have you tried it yet, Chris?
It's pretty. It's very nice.
It's very pretty.
I haven't had an awful lot of time with it.
Wait a minute. You got to explain.
Sorry, I did that at the beginning. You're right.
You folks are sitting there. You two know what it is, but the rest of our listeners.
Well, yeah.
Try to stay with the program.
Jaunty Jackalope is the latest version of Ubuntu 9.04. Lots of cool things in it. It has some very interesting features that I've never seen before. One of my favorite is a little program under system administration called Computer Janitor. And it's a cleanup. It gets rid of, it's essentially like Revo or any one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes along and says, oh, you aren't using this app anymore. Let's get rid of it. Oh, you're not. This is.
I haven't come across that.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah. This is so cool. It's such a neat thing. You know,
this is the second Ubuntu release in a row where they've come out with brand new stuff that we've never seen before.
Yep.
And they're really raising the bar in a good way.
Yeah.
I like
this. There's a USB startup disk creator as well. There's all kinds of other neat stuff in there. There's a thing to test your system and things like that. Lots of nifty programs. There's just good things all over the place. It's a really, really nicely done update, and I'm very impressed with it. OpenOffice.org 3.0 is out, and it's very cool. There's a nice CD creator that's available. Of course, you can download, you can install the Climax virus calculator. I can hardly hear my headset, so if there's, I think there's music coming over because I can see it going there. All right, we're going to take a break while I try to control my outrage, because that's just, my hands are shaking. That whole, just thinking about it makes me angry. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Jim Maddock from Metro Cartridge, the magnificent Alex Vanderweel, who keeps us on the straight now. She also brought her her EEPC in. So let's get ready to rumble at some point. We'll talk about that versus my Lenovo S10e. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 16 minutes after the hour. and you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, of course. That is, and of course, we'll have your calls and stuff, too, for those of you on the line. It's Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Alexander Will.
And I'm Jim Maddock.
Right, and Jim Maddock is our guest. He's from a company called Metro Cartridge. Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Metro Cartridge does?
Well, what Metro Cartridge does is we have a green alternative to printing consumables. So we remanufacture inkjet and laser toner cartridges. There's about 350 million cartridges that get put into landfills each year. And Metro Cartridge tries to keep some of those out of the landfills. And by doing that, we also provide about a 50% savings to our customers.
So the cartridges are less expensive.
Yep.
Now, back in the day, we had a friend who used to refill his inkjet cartridges with a little syringe.
Syringes, yeah.
And stuff. And I kept reading that was bad because the ink was different and wrong and blah, 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 blah. Now, in terms of ink and toner, does that extend or shorten or just have no effect on the life of the printer itself?
You know, it really depends. You need to go, in, like in any situation, you need to go to a reputable manufacturer, or in our case, remanufacturer. We chemically make sure that our toners and that our inks are identical to HP's or Lexmark's or whomever's, whatever manufacturer that we're remanufacturing. We make sure that they're chemically identical as close as we can get without violating any patents. I mean, certainly we're not going to break the law by doing this. But we get them as close as we can. So we don't use universal inks, and that's what a lot of people seem to use is, you know, they'll have a black they'll put in, say, 30 different cartridges. We stock, I think, 11 different HP black inks. So the inks are specifically matched to that cartridge.
And that's always been one of the rebuttals from the printer companies is that their inks are chemically designed to work with their heads and anything else will screw it up.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that. So that's why we do make sure that they're the same as close as we can get. Again, we don't violate any patents. If they have a patent on a drop of alcohol or something, we certainly can't do that. But we certainly make sure and test that there isn't going to be any ill effect to your printers.
So now I can bring you my cartridge. Mm-hmm. I have an HP 1220.
Okay.
So I can bring you my dead cartridge and say, rise! Take
rise
up your cartridge and walk!
Exactly. We actually have what we feel is the simplest for our consumers method, and that's we swap you.
Cool.
You know, there are some places that you can bring them and they can remanufacture them, but we only get about 60% of the cartridges to actually pass, you know, through our process. And you know, some just can't be revived from the dead.
That was one of the stories for a while, is that some of the toner, the laser companies were putting abrasives in their toner to destroy the cartridge so you couldn't refill it.
You know, that's it's true to a point in that ink especially is very abrasive to begin with. So, you know, that is somewhat true. I doubt the manufacturers actually try and, you know, ruin their own product because they run the risk of other products not working.
Yeah.
Although they are getting much more aggressive with their firmwares and much more aggressive with their cartridges to try and stop what we're doing because, you know, obviously we're really eating into
now, what about
how they make
the,
their living.
I had heard tell, you know, like on the HP cartridges, you know, once you put one of those ink cartridges in, there was like, you know, once it was used up, it more or less turned itself right on off.
Yeah, the Lexmark chip rules.
Yeah,
and that's really more with the toner, in which we do replace the chips because of that. But there are some cartridges, you know, they definitely have gotten much more aggressive with the firmwares. You know, so we have to do different things to help alleviate that.
One of the last things I read, I think it was PC Magazine, did a story on the true cost of ink.
Mm-hmm.
And they were finding on most printer cartridges how much ink is left in the tank when the printer says it's empty. And the printer companies just said, well, that's we don't want to run it dry because it will damage the heads.
Right.
But they found a couple of different models of printers, 40% of the ink was still left in the tank when it said it was empty.
You know, the remanufacturing industry has gotten quite a bit larger than, say, 5-10 years ago. So there's actually been litigation against some major manufacturers because of that. If you look at an inkjet cartridge, they don't have any sensors. They don't have any scales. They have no way of determining how much ink is left in the cartridges. They just use firmware. So they say the average person prints 5% coverage, and this cartridge is good for, say, 200 prints.
Right.
And as you print, it takes one off that 200 until that 200th print that tells you you're empty. If you're printing a picture, you know, that's obviously more like 100% coverage, so you're going to run out of ink well before. If you're like most people and print, you know, maybe something off the website or something, it's less than 5% coverage. You have ink left in your cartridge when it tells you you need to get new ink. So the firmware that these manufacturers are using are really something that's a disservice to their customers. It really
I'm sure they believe
helpful.
It's just simply a conservative estimate.
Exactly. Yeah. and they say that, you know, they don't want the print heads, if you run out of ink, the print heads will destroy themselves. Well, it really doesn't matter because they say that the cartridges are only for single use. They're intended for a single use. So that really shouldn't mean anything. They should let it run out. And we tell our customers, run it until you're out of, it prints poorly.
Right.
Then you know it's out of ink.
Now, some of the printers, when a printer thinks it's out of ink, it just stops printing.
Exactly.
You can take the, you can pick the tank up and shake it and hear ink slosh, yep. But the printer said it's out of ink, it won't print anymore. Yeah.
We get about, I would say, at least 15% of our cartridges back that weigh heavier than empty. Because we weigh them when they're...
Sure. Yeah.
We use
that's how this magazine report tested how much was left, yeah. By weighing them.
Yeah, and that's really the only true way of knowing. Because, you know, sometimes it's really hard to determine how much you're printing. You have a child in your house prints out a report you didn't even know about and burns through a thousand pages or whatever. So.
All right, so now I decide, okay, I have to change my printer cartridge. I put the new one, I get sold on my hands. Now my choice is I can either send it back to HP, in my case, or I can bring it to you. So walk me, first, where are you?
Well, we have three locations. We have one.
You just opened up a new one, right?
Yep, in Victor. Yep. Exactly. So come visit us there. New stores are tough.
Yeah, right, right next to FedEx. I go by you all the time.
Exactly. Thank you. we have one in Richmond Plaza in Greece, one on Highland Drive in Henrietta. That was our first store, and that one's right in between Chuck E. Cheese and Borders right there in Scuddy Plaza.
Yep.
And our new store in... on High Point Drive in Victor. So we have three locations, and we're soon to open a third one in Geneva, New York, a little bit farther out. So.
Nice. That would be a fourth one then.
Yeah.
I can do math. Apparently I'm the only one here.
When did you start doing
that? I know.
And you didn't take off your shoes either.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? All right. So I've got my cartridge. I bring it to you when it places. What happens? Tell me. Walk me through it.
So you hand us your cartridge, and then we hand you one that's already pre-filled and tested. You pay it and on your way out. So it's only it's about a 15-second transaction.
That's the whole thing?
Yep. Yep. We figured that would be the best for our customers because if you've gone to other places that remanufacture them, again, only about 60% make it through. So you bring it there and some of these processes take as well over a day. You know, you bring it and they say come back in a half hour and then they tell you it didn't remanufacture. You got to go over there and buy a new one. Me personally, as a consumer, just didn't feel that would be what I'd want to do.
Yeah, right. No, that's a smart.
Because I don't really want to make two trips.
Exactly. So we just swap you. You bring in yours, we give you ours, and away you go.
So ideally now, right? I buy two cartridges. Mm-hmm. I'm good for how long?
Well, you know, that's a tough one because about 10 years ago, the cartridges had about 42 milliliters of ink in them. Today's have about 4.
Yeah. And another thing I read, Consumer Reports did a thing about cartridge costs and how some of the off-brand cartridges are cheaper because there's less ink in them. And if you multiply it out, a typical ink tank is about $6,000 a gallon.
Yeah, you worry about your gas.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, in terms of refills, how, for example, an inkjet cartridge or a
toner?
LaserJet toner cartridge, about how many refills can I get?
Oh, I see what you're saying. How many times does it go through the process? You know, typically it doesn't make it through more than once. Some make it through twice, but typically it's really about once is all you get out of
with
it.
With a 60% failure rate, then that's about
and,
once.
And I use 60%. It's kind of a loose term because some remanufacture much better. Some manufacturers make better products. So, you know, we get 80, 90% of those, and some we get 30, 40% out of those.
It's a dice roll.
So what, just... Maybe I'm putting you on the spot, and you can say I am and not answer this question. What cartridge do you find best for inkjet
HP,
and for...
HP, by far.
HP, both for inkjet and for toner?
Yeah. They there's a reason they own the market. They make the best products. They all make their money off
the crappy drivers.
Well, I was just about to say that. I love their hardware, and I hate their drivers.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah, it is. They definitely had a lot of issues. We personally in our stores have HP printers and have had a lot of problems, especially when we switched over to Vista. But in terms of the actual printer quality and cartridge quality, HP seems to be the best. We actually sell used HP stuff. We call it green printers because some of the older HP products, you know, were built so well.
Okay, I hate to cut you off, but we have to take a quick break right now. Thank you very much. Jim Maddock of Metro Cartridge. We'll be right back. There, that was quick.
Okay, Nick, hi, this is Randy Gorbin from the WHA Newsroom, and coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, since you guys do a computer show, I should probably break in with this information. We've been getting some calls about folks having a Roadrunner outage.
Yes.
And right now, I'm just quoting some other media in the Syracuse area, but we do expect to be hearing from Time Warner soon, and apparently they've got a data outage that is affecting Roadrunner service in pockets across the Northeast. That includes Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse, and Albany. Started around 10 this morning. And again, it is affecting. Nick having some trouble hearing us over there.
Yeah, now I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right, there is some. So there is apparently a Roadrunner outage affecting areas that include Rochester, Syracuse, Buffalo, and Albany. Began around 10 this morning, affecting Roadrunner high-speed internet users. Maybe digital phone in some pockets. Time Warner is aware of this. I know we've been getting a lot of calls in the newsroom, but they are working on this. No word when things will be restored. But again, if you are having trouble with Roadrunner right now, it is a problem that Time Warner is experiencing apparently across a good part of New York State, if not other states around the Northeast. And we'll update you if we get more information before your show ends.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Cut something.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
I knew there was a problem this morning when my Roadrunner went down, and I called their support line, and it's busy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's a widespread problem.
That is a widespread problem. We're going to take a break. I want to thank Jim Maddock from Metro Cartridge for all his... I'm sorry we had to cut you a little short there. I appreciate that very much. We're going to take a break, back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Jim Maddock.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
At 36 minutes after the hour, we're going to keep Jim here because we'll be talking to him again. We're in an interesting situation. This has never happened to us before. We're going into the third segment with only one phone call. The lines were completely lit up with people who were having Roadrunner problems. And, of course, Randy. And this is why you listen to Wham, by the way, because they've got the news you need when you need it. Problem with Roadrunner, Randy comes in and tells us that the boards are cleared up. So if you've got a question, this is probably the best chance you'll ever have to get on the line after 12 o'clock.
Yeah, if your Roadrunner is down, yes, Roadrunner is down.
Yes, Roadrunner is down. So all those who listen to us live on the web stream may not, in fact, be listening to us live on the web stream. This does not, of course, come at an opportune time.
Coincidentally, I was reading the Stop to Cap website this morning, and happy birthday, Phil.
Happy birthday, Phil.
and my Roadrunner went down, and I thought, there's an interesting coincidence.
Well, the web stream should still be up as far as clear.
No, from this end, it's up. But from the other end, I'm saying, if you're listening to it, this, of course, comes at an inopportune time for them in terms of they've got this whole cap problem going on and all this other stuff. And
they
now,
could say too many people were downloading and overwhelmed our system.
If that's true, their network people need to be fired.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry, but I do this for a living, and that's not an excuse that I'll go with.
And I had an interesting theory this morning is they were doing the metered usage during the summer. Because the original plan was during the summer, we'll tell you about how much you're using, and then we'll start enforcing the caps in the fall. Well, during the summer, more people like go outside, don't they? So you're not on the internet as much. So it's an artificial low.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, they were citing, you know, that there's going to be all these brownouts and everything else. Well, that I think that study was done when the height of all the kids that were IMing. Mm-hmm. Kids don't IM through the computer anymore. They're doing the texting on their cell phones.
Right. And I understand that they want to keep the very high-end people from doing a lot of downloading and stuff like that because it does kind of clog the network up. But you don't do it this way. There's better ways to do that.
Yes.
All right. Our first caller, I have no name for this one, but you have a Wooby question. Who is this?
Who is it?
What's your name?
Mike.
Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rochester.
Okay, what's your question?
Yeah, it was about Wooby.
Yeah.
I uninstalled the last version, and I downloaded the 9.04. But when I boot up, even though I uninstalled the old version with Revo, when I boot up, it still wants to start up like it's a dual machine.
Oh, you want to do a dual boot?
No, I don't want to do it. But I noticed, like, during installation, it says Wooby is not supposed to put partitions in, but during the install, it says it's partitioning this and partitioning that.
Well, Wooby is a single file that resides on your hard drive, and it does create a hidden file for itself. It may call it a partition, but it's only a file.
It's a simulation.
Right. It's essentially a virtual system inside your machine. So now, do you have this problem when you boot your machine or when you start Wubi?
No. When I boot the machine up, it either wants to start in Windows or in Ubuntu.
Oh.
So I have a choice.
He accidentally has that tried to set up a dual boot system. He didn't.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right. Didn't do Wubi
right.
There properly.
Are, right. Are you sure you had installed Wubi? Because
yes, I went to the Wubi installer site.
Wubi installs inside of Windows. So you boot Windows and then run Wubi, and you're in a virtual Unix environment inside of Windows.
Right. So what you may, I'm not entirely certain what you did, of course, because I wasn't there, but what you may have done is essentially clicked on the wrong icon in Wubi, which then tries to install itself onto Windows as well as, it tries to install itself on your hard drive alongside Windows.
If you want a Linux-only computer with no Windows on it, you can't use Wubi.
No, what he wants is just Wubi. Wubi allows you to do two things. Either run it from inside Windows as a virtual computer inside Windows, or there's also an icon on the desktop to install it alongside Windows so you can dual boot. And it sounds like that's what Mike did.
Right. Yeah, so there is no boot-only Wubi.
No, that's not what he wants.
Right, you boot Windows and then run Wubi, or you boot Wubi. But there's no
Wubi.
Right,
but what he wants is to go back to the original after he's now installed it to dual boot.
Right. So, the icon was up on the screen.
Right.
And then when I double clicked it.
Right. Now, that can be fixed.
Okay.
But probably not by you.
Right.
To be honest. What's going to happen is you're going to have to take it to some reputable dealer, and they're going to have to wipe out the Wubi partition, re-put in the boot record, which is easy enough to do. I mean, all this is easy to do if you know what you're doing.
Right.
And then extend the Windows partition to fill the whole drive. So it's certainly doable, but I would take it to a reputable dealer and have them do it. It is actually not a difficult thing. If they tell you it's hard, it certainly is going to take some time.
And the right tools.
And the right tools, but they'll have those software tools.
What is your goal in the end, to have a Linux-only computer, or do you want to be able to boot Windows or Linux?
Well, I had the idea of having a dual boot at one point, but then when I heard about Wubi that it won't partition the drive, and I could play around with Linux that way, that's why I chose Wubi.
Right. You can play around with Linux inside of Windows.
Right. And I didn't have to just consume a whole machine with just Linux and one just with XP.
Right. And what you've accidentally done is turned it into dual boot. Now, like I said, you can just take it to a reputable dealer and they'll fix that.
Well, now that it's a dual boot, okay?
Yeah.
When I do use Wubi, will it do like any other Linux machine and automatically download updates? And
yes.
Stuff like that?
Yes, it should work just like a real Ubuntu system and work that way perfectly.
But to clarify, you won't be doing Wubi, you'll be booting Ubuntu.
Right, it's now a plain Ubuntu installation.
Right.
So it will work just like a regular Linux installation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. All right, our next caller, we have Jeff from Brighton. Jeff has an inkjet cartridge question. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Good afternoon. One real quick question on the cartridges. Does he do any cartridges at all? I walked in, I turned on the radio in the middle of the conversation. So does he do any cartridges whatsoever?
Well, we do most cartridges.
By the way, this is Jim Maddock from Metro Cartridge.
We do most cartridges. We don't do them all because, again, all of the inks are specifically formulated for that inkjet cartridge or toner cartridge. So if somebody comes out with a brand new product, it takes us a little while to reverse engineer all of that.
What one are you looking to do?
I think at this point I'm just so fed up with spending so much money on ink, I'm just going to buy a new printer. But I like the idea of being able to bring it in and refill it. It seems like it'll save a lot of money, so I'm probably going to do that.
The best thing to do when you're purchasing a new printer is we used to look at printers and say, okay, I want this function and this function and this function, and then you make your decision based on price, you get the best value. It's really not that way anymore. Look at the printers and find printers that you like, but then find out how much the consumables are. Because again, these manufacturers have gone from 42 milliliters down to 4, and have dropped the price maybe in half. So, you know, you're paying four times more for these inkjet cartridges than you were, even though they cost less.
And now last year isn't much time, so therefore you're kind of like running out to the store or ordering them online every few weeks instead of once every 2 months.
Exactly, and that's why look at the printer cartridges and buy your printers based on the consumables, because you know that's the annuity of what you're buying. That's the real cost of what you're buying.
Right.
The printer manufacturers can't manufacture these printers for what they're selling them for.
Right.
I appreciate your advice on that. My next question is, I'm a computer dummy. I don't know a thing about computers, so how to turn them on and use the functions that I'm familiar with. We bought a brand new laptop and has Vista in it, and we have a Brother multifunction system, which does the fax, the copying, and and we have it on our wireless network at home, and everything was working great until we got this new computer with Vista, and we seem not to be able to print, and we can't find a driver. We put the disk in and try to run it up, and it says it doesn't work with Vista, so do you have any advice on that, please?
Well, there's no advice I can give you. Vista.
Well, go to Brother's website and see if there's a driver. It may not be on the disk, but Brother may have something you can download.
Right. So go to the Brother website, probably brothers.com. Again, I have no internet access, so I can't get either.
We did that and it didn't have it, so I guess it's a waiting game or just get
it's a waiting game.
Yeah, because believe it or not, System 7 is going to be more compatible.
They say.
Well, everything I've found so far, and I've been playing with the Windows 7 so far, and I've been testing it with all kinds of older programs, printers, and everything else. As a matter of fact, I've had a number of other clients' printers come in just for tickles and grins. I've been hooking them up just to see if I can get them to work with System 7. I haven't found one yet.
That that'd be good.
And that was one of the big things with Vista, is that if it's an older printer, the company may not make a driver because they want you to buy a new printer.
Yep.
But if it's too new a printer, they may not have a driver yet.
You were hosed either way.
Yeah. And Vista's been out for 2 years. There's almost no excuse for it.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's do or die for Microsoft. As Nick was reporting in the news.
Yeah.
You know, sales are off, and they can't afford another bad year. I mean, if they go through this Christmas without some good sales, you're going to see some major, major cutbacks in Redmond.
Do you think Windows 7 is going to be released by Christmas?
I think Windows 7 will be out. Hear me now, remember me later. But I think Windows 7 is going to be out before, I'd say, Halloween.
I agree.
You're going to see it out there. They've got to get it out. It's do or die. And I mean, I'm not just saying this for tickles and grins, but it is that critical for Microsoft.
Right. All right. Thank you, Jeffrey. Music. I still can't hear anything in my headset. All right.
You're still hearing those strange voices?
The voices are loud, and they're in four-part harmony right now, as a matter of fact.
How'd you get that?
Essentially, I'm listening to full frontal folk in my head. It's pretty good. We're going
to
take another quick break.
Or is it free?
That's a group name. It's not something I made up. We're going to take a quick
James
break.
Brown, isn't it?
What?
That's James Brown in my ear, isn't it?
Maybe you're getting James Brown. I got full frontal folk.
Wait a minute. I'm between you
stars.
Two.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Wright, Jim Maddock, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, and me, Nick Francesco. It is 48 minutes after the hour on this beautiful Sunday in April in glorious Rochester, New York, and you're listening to Soundbites. And we are on 1180. We may not be anywhere else right now due to the Time Warner outage, but we're on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
I'm Jim Maddock.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, we are back on Soundbites. Our next caller is Irene from Chi-Lai, New York. Welcome, Irene. What's your question?
Yes, I have a question on our home wireless network that sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't. We have more than one computer, and I'm not sure if it's our wireless router that doesn't have the capability we need, but sometimes one of us will be on the network and then we get disconnected from the internet and we have to go and unplug and plug it back in.
How far away from the wireless router is the computer when this happens?
In the basement we have the wireless router, and then we'll be in the kitchen on the first floor or in the family room.
That can often be a problem because many basements have I-beams in the ceiling to hold a house up.
Along with the ducting
and
ductwork.
Right, all the ductwork. Anything metal will block the radio signal.
Oh.
Kitchens are a bad thing, too, because all the metal appliances in the kitchen can block the radio signal. So you walk around the other side of the refrigerator, you lose contact with the network.
Do you ever lose the contact when you're upstairs, for example?
Yes.
Or what about down right in the basement?
Yes, yeah, sometimes we'll lose the connection right next to it as
yeah.
well.
Well, it sounds like...
Do you know what make your wireless...
D-Link? Is that the
D-Link?
Link?
Yeah. How D-Link. Old is it?
It's a couple of years
There
old.
You go. D-Link's... Well, all of them. I won't limit this yes. to D-Links. You leave them on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. After a few years, they burn out.
Okay.
Or develop issues.
Or develop issues.
Okay.
I would suggest you replace it.
Do you have one that is good for multiple use?
Right like, now, I like Netlink, Netgear.
Yeah, Netgear, Linksys, D-Link. They're
what
all...
do you mean by multiple use?
Links? Well, we have a couple of laptops, and we have a Wii console that is also Linksys.
All of the routers yeah. are rated for at least 50 users, and they oh. will support 250 yeah. users.
Okay.
They will. You get many more than 10, and you start having
okay.
collisions, and so
yes.
your effective use slows down a little
yeah,
bit.
I still
but
like
anything up
lot.
To 10,
I like
you shouldn't
Linksys.
Have a problem.
I like the Linksys. You yeah. like the...
I like the Netgear.
Did you notice that Linksys, you go to Linksys' website, it's now Linksys by Cisco?
Yeah.
I think they're deprecating the Linksys brand, and they're all going to be Cisco now.
I think so.
Because Cisco is the router to get, but it's, what is, I just looked
thousands
up.
Thousands of dollars.
Right, I just looked up a 24-port gigabit router, and it was $3,000.
Alex has got to vote for Netgear.
Netgear or Linksys, yeah. Yeah. both of them are good.
Yeah, both
for,
of them
for
are good.
The home, right, for the home user, yeah.
Okay. D-Link is also good, but anyone you buy, it's going to die after a few years.
Okay.
That's simple.
And you also may want to look to moving it out of the basement and away from all the metal that it's in.
Okay.
Yeah, the Netgear, most of them have a built-in firewall. Make sure that's running, and that's all the sort of thing you need to do.
Okay.
You may try in the interim.
Lock it down.
Pardon me?
Lock it down.
Yeah, put
in
a
other
password
words,
on the wireless.
Yeah,
so
put a password on the wireless so somebody can't, your next-door neighbor can't steal it from you.
Okay.
Because usually
or the
if
bad
you get a,
guy sitting in the driveway.
Yeah,
right.
But usually if you get, you know, your next-door neighbor and they want to get free wireless.
Yeah.
And the newer ones do kick out quite a signal.
Yeah, okay. The new N, one of the features of wireless N is longer range because yeah. it uses multiple antenna.
Yep.
Okay.
And Chris, you're about to say something? About-
yeah, one last thing. You may try to reorient that router. Try turning it 90 degrees. Try flipping the antenna around.
Okay.
It may do nothing more than move your dead spots, but it may give you a good connection okay. where you want one.
All right. Okay. Well, Irene, we got to move on. We got to try to get at least one more call in.
Okay.
That's a good one. Thank
you. Our next caller is Jeff from Scottsville, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
I just got a new Lenovo W500 laptop. I do a lot of photography work in that, and sure. I've got a solid state drive in it, and I bought the little bay adapter so I can pull my DVD drive out and put a serial ATA drive in there.
Right.
So I went and bought a serial ATA drive, 320 gig, and I've popped it in there, but it's not showing up in my computer.
Right. What you got to do first is go into the control panel.
Yep.
Go under administrative.
Okay.
Disk administrator.
Yeah,
now, if Windows was smart, it would say, oh, here's an unformatted hard drive. Well, you want me to format it for you?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, but no, if you go under administrative tools and then you go under computer management.
Okay, yeah.
And then the disk manager, you will then see it there under the disk management. You're going to have to format it in there.
Okay.
Because it won't show up until after you format it. So it'll show up as a drive, and it'll sit there and say that it's not formatted.
You right-click
on it, you format it, and it will then recognize it after it's formatted.
Okay.
All right?
When I look in there, I show my C drive, and then it shows a service V, but it's not the size of this other drive. So it's not showing up in
what
there.
Size does it say it is?
It shows 6 gigs, so it must have, or I'm sorry, 280 meg. So
that's it.
No,
280 meg? No.
Yeah, 280 meg. So 280
gig.
Yeah, 280
would be about
gig.
Right for a 320.
Yeah, no, it may be. So.
Did you have to put the drive into a chassis to fit into the bay?
No, it slides the little IBM deal. It slides right into there, and it's got a little snap that locks it down.
Just
in.
An edge connector.
So,
make sure none of the pins got bent, or is it SATA?
It's SATA, but I've still seen those pins get bent.
Yep.
But if I go into controls, add hardware, it shows the drive is there, so I know it's connected. It's showing that there's a Western Digital drive there, but...
So disk administrator should see it.
Yes, it should, so you can format it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll have to have our IT guy look at it. But, of course, I'm calling on my cell phone because my Time Warner digital phone is out.
Yeah.
So is mine.
They're all out. As Randy Gorbman came in and told us in such a timely manner, Time Warner is out. The public release of Windows 7 beta will be July 7th, so theoretically we ought to see it certainly by Christmas. Dave is predicting before Halloween. All right, that music tells me we're done for another week. Let me specifically thank Jim Maddock from Metro Cartridge for coming in and joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy the show.
And bring your cartridges to them and get them get a replacement at half the cost of buying a whole new cartridge. Why should you pay more? I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Wright, Chris Wright, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, who had a tougher time than usual keeping us in track today. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 59 minutes after the hour. Thanks so much for listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Back next week on 1180 WHAM.